Thanks for listening to First Baptist Church of Conway. We pray that this message is both an encouragement and a challenge to you as you grow in faith in Jesus. We are happy to provide this resource to you, but as you know, this alone cannot meet the need we all have for fellowship and corporate worship. So we hope you'll be able to join us this Sunday at 10 a.m. Or if you're not in the area, give us a call and we'll do our best to help you find a good church to visit. For now, here is this week's message.
So, one of a big moment, kind of key moment for me, was when I wanted to quit being a pastor before I even started. I'd gotten pretty far in my education. I'd been helping with the church, trying different things out, but it was coming that time to take like my next step of faith, kind of put myself out there for churches, see what all of that looked out there to preach and to pastor. And I was like, you know what? I want to quit. I hadn't even started. You see, one Sunday I was sitting in a church and I was listening to this preacher named Daniel. He was the pastor of this local church that was growing, I mean, really reaching people for the Lord. And he was so gifted and he was so talented. I remember just sitting there thinking, if that's what being a preacher is, there is absolutely no way I can do anything like that. I mean, this guy was so talented, and I'm looking at me, and I'm saying, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not talented enough. And I remember thinking, I had made the biggest mistake of my life. In fact, God had made a mistake in this whole thing. I wanted to quit, and I started looking for other jobs, other avenues, and having a bachelor's degree in Bible and working through seminary, a master's divinity, I'm just letting you know the career fields aren't wide open with that type of education. But it was time for that next step of faith, and everything inside of me and around me, and I can't explain how big of a deal this was for me. Everything around me just said, it ain't gonna happen. Figure something else out. And here's what I know about you, because it's actually true for everyone. When you wanna take that next step of faith, however big, however small, whatever that looks like for you, you will absolutely be bombarded with reason and events surrounding your life to stop you from living into God's purpose for your life. Folks, I've seen this time and time again, and the truth is, I used to think, and maybe you think like this too, well, if it's God's will for my life, that means it must be easy. I mean, marriage is easy, right? This was God's idea. It must be easy. And so I think like the first sign of trouble, the first self-doubts, those things that come crashing in, I'm like, well, if this was from the Lord, it'd be easy. I don't feel like this is easy. Therefore, I just need to quit. I need to figure something else out to do. And we have biblical support for this idea. I mean, in the Bible, we hear about walls coming crashing down. We hear about seas parting and people walking on dry land. We hear about people getting on boats when the world is flooding. We hear about people being raised from the dead. And so the Bible tells me about all these miraculous things that happen that God does and for their next step of faith. And so I just assume that must what it means for me too. And if God wants me to do something, that means it must be easy. And if it's not, that must mean he doesn't want me to do it. But if we think about it, right? That can't be remotely true. You see, for the walls to come tumbling down, they had to walk around 7 times first. For the seas to part, they had to first leave Egypt. Before they could get on the boat, they had to build the boat. And for the resurrection to happen, well, the cross had to happen first. You see, what it took me so long to see, and I tell you and I promise you this, while we're talking about it, I absolutely see it all the time as a pastor, that when people are ready to take that next step of faith, when they're ready to volunteer, they're ready to connect, whatever that might look like for you, when they're ready to take that next step of faith, all of a sudden they get bombarded and they're completely unprepared for what's to follow, because quite often what follows is all hell breaking loose in your life. And it's not just for you. It's for all of us. It breaks out. And a lot of times you end up walking away before he makes a way. We get so caught up with our emotion, we get so caught up with the events, we get so caught up with what's happening, we actually miss out on what he wants to do in our lives, because quite often there's a miracle, there's a breakthrough, there's something right around the corner, and we miss out because we get overwhelmed, we get stressed, we get frustrated, and we just walk away from all of it rather than seeing what God wants to do in our lives. You see, right now we're really focusing on this idea of discipleship. We're currently in chapter 8 of the Gospel of Matthew. We're working verse by verse through this biography of the life of Jesus. And where we are in the story, you can go back and listen to sermons. You can read it for yourself in the Bible. We're seeing Jesus was teaching. He was healing. I mean, all sorts of crowds were coming to him because of the miraculous things that he was doing. So the crowds were come, and then he's like, you know, I need to take a break. We're out. Let's get away from this. Let's go to the next town. Let's go across the lake. So where we started last week was here, Matthew 8, verse 18. It says, when Jesus saw the crowds around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. His miracles were so amazing. People started stepping up and stepping out, saying, look, if this is what you can do, I want to be like you. If this is the kind of stuff you do, I want to follow after you. So they wanted to become his disciples, right? Jesus was a rabbi. And so when people approached, we get this, Jesus was leaving, wanted to leave. And then in between this, we see these guys say, hey, Jesus, I want to come with you. Like, I want to do the stuff you want to do. And Jesus lets them know, hey, if you want to follow me, you got to count the cost. There's some challenges that lies ahead. And again, we talked all about that last week. If you missed it, you should go back and catch up. But he lays down the foundation for these expectations of a Jesus follower, of a Christian, of a disciple. Those are all the same thing. We just use them interchangeably. And we aren't sure if those specific people stepped up with Jesus. We aren't sure if they followed him on the boat. We're not sure what they decided to do, but we do know what happens to whomever decided to get in the boat with Jesus. Verse 23 tells us this. It says, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Disciples went and woke him up shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. So they're riding in this boat and all hell breaks loose. Quite literally, that's what Matthew wants to show us. There's something more to this storm than just a storm. There's something deeper and bigger going on. These men, you see, were fishermen. This is not their first time in a boat. This isn't their first time caught in a storm, but this storm was very different than anything they've ever experienced. Matthew quite literally calls this an earthquake. It was something more. There's a spiritual element going on in this storm. But just like you, in your life, when you get on that boat, when you decide to follow Jesus, all hell will break loose in your life. But often we look at it, well, it's just another storm. What's just another marriage problem? It's just my kid being a kid. It's just my job being the job. That's just my coworker. We don't see that there could be, perhaps not all the time, we don't want to over-spiritualize everything, but perhaps there could be something deeper going on in your life. And so when this massive storm hits to these trained fishermen, they start freaking out because Jesus is doing what? Sleeping. Just sleeping. Ain't worried about it. Just sleeping away. And they run to him and say, save us. And I imagine they thought a lot more than just save us. I'm sure they thought, hey, let's turn around and get out of here. This is a terrible idea. Why did I quit my job and decide to follow this guy and he has no navigation skills at all? Like, what is going on in this moment? Like, he is crazy. He's so crazy, he's just sleeping. This doesn't even bother him. Like, what are we doing? So they cry, Jesus, save us. And here's Jesus's response. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Why am I afraid? Because the boat's about to sink and I'm going to die. Do you need more than that? Why am I afraid? Because all hell is breaking loose and my marriage is falling apart. My kids are falling apart. My job's falling apart. Why am I afraid, Jesus? Because I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have what it takes. I think I made a mistake. In fact, worse, I think you made a mistake in this whole thing. I'm afraid because I might fail. I'm afraid because I don't know what I'm doing. Why am I afraid, Jesus? Because you already know what's happened in my life. You know the abandonment issues I have. You know the victim things that's going on. You know the how I've been picked on. You know those things that trigger me, Jesus. I mean, why am I afraid? I stepped into this stupid boat, and now my entire life is falling apart. Why am I afraid? And I have little faith? Jesus, I got in the boat with you. I'm here. I left my family. I left my job. I left my career. Little faith. Jesus, I'm here. Those are the guys on the shore. I'm in the boat with you. What do you mean I have no faith? This isn't practical. This isn't rational. Jesus, what do you mean? And here's what we have to see in the story. And it's so amazing that this idea of faith, this idea of faith isn't just this one-time thing. Our faith isn't just about receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that's the end of that. Our faith is this continual thing that's going to be tried and tested through our discipleship journey. Faith is more than just getting in the boat. It's trusting during those difficult, radical, hard times when everything's going crazy in our life. Faith is what gives us the fuel to continue following Jesus. But why is he questioning their faith? Why is he questioning their fear in the middle of the storm? Well, Matthew already told us why. Verse 18. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he instructed his disciples to cross the other side of the lake. Folks, if Jesus says you're going to the other side of the lake, you're getting to the other side of the lake. This whole idea wasn't theirs. This whole idea of going to the other side of the lake was his. What are they worried about? He's the one who told them to do it in the first place. He already knew what was going to happen. They lost faith in the moment when the storm came crashing down. They lost faith that Jesus was guiding them and directing them and had everything under control. But Jesus was in the boat with them the entire time. He hadn't left them. He hadn't gone anywhere. And he surely wasn't bothered by the storm. As we talked about a few weeks ago, God doesn't worry. And when you worry, you are always leaving God out because God doesn't need to worry. He's got it under control. He's powerful enough and he already knows what's going to happen. And so the disciples, they start doubting, they start worrying. They say, Jesus, save us. Well, you might get rebuked when you ask them to do that, but look what happens next. Verse 26, Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. And suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? All right, before we saw what kind of authority does this guy think he has? Now the question is, who is this man? This is what Matthew's answering for us. Who is this Jesus, the one who speaks to storms? And they stop. He speaks to the winds and they pause. Even the winds and waves obey him. So Jesus spoke and it all settled down. And many of you have never experienced the mighty power of Jesus because you won't get in the boat. Or if you're in the boat, the first sign of trouble, the first sign of difficulties, you want to turn around and you want to go back. You're like, you know what? I'm done. I can't handle this anymore. Rather than running to Jesus, rather than allow him to calm the storm, we get all these ideas in our head about what needs to happen next. And Jesus is like, look, I got this. Like, it's okay. This was my idea anyways, not yours. And there was this calm, there was this peace that Jesus can bring to your life. But look right where he leads them, verse 28. It says, when Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake in the region of... I didn't practice that enough, folks. There it is. should have, but I didn't. Told you I couldn't do this. I told you at the beginning. Two men were possessed by demons, met him. Like, I got caught up on that part. Two men were possessed by demons, met him. They came out of the tombs and were so violent that no one could go through that area. So he takes them from the massively exhausting crowds into this terrible storm to some violent, possessed people. Welcome to Christianity. This is our discipleship journey, folks. And while our scientific minds, we struggle and we wrestle, we're like, possession, that's so archaic and we don't understand it. Look, there are times today still that there is no explanation for what's going on with a person other than pure evil. Look at the headlines, you'll see it. And sometimes it's nothing, we have no explanation other than just evil is running rampant. And this doesn't seem to be a common thing, but it seems to be a thing. And they're rising up against Jesus. So Jesus takes his disciples, and here's what happens next. They begin screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" So interestingly, the disciples are chastised for not having enough faith. And the first people to address Jesus as the Son of God are the possessed. It's very interesting. So these men are controlled and possessed and tormented by these evil spirits. But when they see Jesus, they are terrified. They are the ones concerned. Not Jesus, but they are the ones who are upset. Verse 30, they continue. It says, "There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance. So the demons begged, 'If you cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs.' 'All right, go,' Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and entered the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water." You have way more questions than I have answers to right now. But do not miss the actual point to the story. When the evil, when the demonic, when those spiritual forces are confronted by Jesus, they are terrified. That's what we have to see, the power of Jesus. They try to bring terror, but are terrified of the Son of God. They want to leave his presence. They want to get out of there when they're around Jesus and would rather go to these unclean pigs. That's what we would have to see in the Bible, Jewish, these unclean pigs, and throw themselves over a cliff. They want to disband and run when it comes to Jesus. Verse 33. The herdsmen fled to nearby town, telling everyone what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And demon-possessed pigs, huh? I guess that's how that works. Demon-possessed men. The entire town came out to meet Jesus, and they begged him, say that with me, to go away and leave them alone. Folks, this needs to explain a lot of things you see in your life. These people were more comfortable with the demonic than they were with Jesus. They were more comfortable in the craziness and the evil of the world than with the peace of Jesus. They're more comfortable in the violent and the impressive and evil people who want to hurt other people. They're more comfortable with that than Jesus, who redeemed and saved these men. Their response to Jesus's power was to leave. They are more concerned with pigs than they are people. We'll save that sermon for another day. But the point is, and what we cannot miss, is the power of Jesus Christ. He not only has the power over the storms, he has the power over the evil forces surrounding. And when the disciples got in the boat, all hell broke loose. The spiritual and demonic, the evil was surrounding, trying to prevent them from doing what God wanted him to do in this world. Which shouldn't surprise us then when all hell breaks loose in our lives, when we get on board and want to follow after Jesus. You see, Jesus is on a mission. Listen, he's not here to take you around the storm. He's not here to take you around the evil to make sure you never encounter it. In fact, we see Jesus taking them right to it, right through it, because he has come to do a good work of redeeming, saving, and rescuing people. And so when we sign up for Jesus, we are signing up and joining him on this mission to redeem and reach and save the lost. We're here to move towards evil, towards brokenness. And so we shouldn't be surprised when that stuff happens, when it breaks loose, when it starts, its ugly head starts rearing up and starts messing with their lives. We shouldn't be surprised of it. Because being a Christian in our discipleship journey means Jesus will take us into these things so that he can do a good work in the midst of them. They didn't want to be on that boat. Surely they didn't want to be around a bunch of evil possessed men and pigs. But yet, that's where they went. And that's where Jesus showed up. You see, heaven is not found on this side of eternity. Stop looking for it. It doesn't exist here. And here's what I know will absolutely happen once you make that choice, that commitment to follow after Jesus. When you resolve, I'm going to be his disciple, I'm going to chase after him with my entire life, what will absolutely happen is you will experience storms, you will experience spiritual warfare that will actively stop you and try to stop you from taking that next step of faith, especially when you try to be a person of influencing others for Jesus Christ. You shouldn't be surprised when it happens. It happens to all of us. We just don't want to talk about it because it's weird. And it's kind of freaky and scary, and we don't want to seem out of place, but it's all throughout the Bible. Evil wants to influence us and wreak havoc, and this is common to all of us. Again, it's called spiritual warfare, and there's a real battle going on. You and I need to be aware of it. And so what do we do in light of all this? How do we work through spiritual warfare? Just have a couple of, we got 4 points, one more than a typical Baptist message, but we got 4 of them today. First, I need you to do this. I need you to recognize it's a reality for all of us. Recognize that spiritual warfare is a real thing. If I'm in the middle of war and I don't know I'm in war, sounds like I'm going to be in trouble. Right? Like if there's a war going on, I probably need to understand that that's what's happening in my life. Paul says it like this. He says, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. You'll be like, you haven't met my coworkers, Jesus. Paul, you don't know my spouse. That's flesh and blood. I tell you right now, I'm fighting hard. Right? Paul's like, no. I know, you got those people. There's something bigger happening and you need to be aware of it. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. You're like, Paul, what does that even mean? He's like, doesn't matter. Just know they exist. And all of us deal with it, every single one of us. Be aware that when change happens, when conflict happens, when everything else is going on around, start paying attention to the spiritual warfare, the influences going on in your lives. For instance, eating healthy has always been a struggle for me. Maybe not for you. Well, good for you. But for me, anytime I commit, I'm like, I'm going to do right. I'm going to eat healthy. Today is going to be the day. Not Monday. Today is going to be the day. You know what happens? There's 1,000 reasons why I can't. One of y'all show up with cookies at the daggone office. Someone's birthday. Someone invites me over. And what I know, although that happens all the time, is that my mind will start telling me every reason why sugar and butter really aren't that bad for you. But I've been doing this long enough. Listen, this is important. I know that stupid voice. That's the lazy, comfortable, pizza-eating, cake-eating voice that has never, ever helped me in this life. I know that voice. When I get uncomfortable in my faith, or what get uncomfortable when I have to move forward with what God has asked me to do, that same voice starts talking. It's like, Brian, listen, let's just go get a pizza and some cake. It'll be all right. Let's just move on. Let's just absolutely quit everything because I'm naturally lazy. I don't know about you. Naturally lazy. Pizza, cake, ice cream, TV. Got it made. And that voice says, run from it all and go do that instead. And here's the deal, this is very important. You and I, we need to be able to recognize the voice of Jesus. Go to the next slide. John 10, 14 through 16 says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. For just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that they are not in the sheepfold and I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock with one shepherd. And listen, I don't know how this works for everyone, but I do know and can guarantee you Jesus is still speaking today. It's through his word. It's through his whispers. He is still talking. But many times we aren't listening. We are listening to ourselves. We are listening to the demonic. We're listening to all those other things that want to fill our head and fill our minds rather than hearing from Jesus. And listen, when those voices come, I'm not saying every time I want to eat a cookie, it's demonic. It feels demonic, but I'm not saying it is. I'm saying whether it's my voice, whether it's a temptation, whether it's evil, whatever it may be, I don't really care how it works, but I can tell you it's not the voice of Jesus in those moments. When I get angry, do I listen to that voice who tells me what I need to do, or do I listen to that voice of Jesus who says you need to chill out? When I have that thing I need to say back to my spouse or that aggravation, am I listening for the voice of Jesus or am I listening to that other voice who tells me what I need to do because I'm right and I'm justified? Are we listening for the voice of Jesus? I don't know how it all works. I don't know the difference between what's demonic, what's our own sinful nature. It doesn't matter how it works. What matters is Jesus. Are we listening to him and allowing him to guide us in those difficulties? For me, my lazy voice says, just quit it all. Scott calls me, he's like, how you doing today? I was like, man, I'm gonna go work at Five Guys. That's how I feel right now. You think I'm making it up? Ask him. Say him all the time. Five Guys is my place. I don't know why. Maybe I just want some burgers and fries. Like, I'm just going to quit it all today, Scott. That's it. I'm done. That's my voice. Your voice may be anchor. I cannot believe this has happened to me. I need revenge. Folks, that's not from the Lord. Your voice may be a historian that wants to bring up everything that's ever happened to you and what someone else has done to you. That's not forgiveness. That's not from the Lord. Your voice may be the victim voice. Everything that's ever happened and how nothing's ever your fault. And how this is so unfair. And you're right. Things are unfair. I don't know about fair and war. Those things don't go together. War is pretty unfair, folks. The enemy will use those triggers and those things and continually push and push and push. And it's not fair, but it's the reality of what's happening. Your voice may be, well, everyone else is wrong and I'm always right. That's not even possible. You just need to let that one go. Your voice may be, I'm just so busy, look at me. As if somehow you are more important than Jesus, the Savior of the world. Or your voice may be, I'm not good enough, I'm too stressed. There's no way Jesus would let this happen in my life. Well, if it's happened in your life, he has let it happen in your life. But whatever that voice is for you, do you recognize and can you distinguish between that little voice, that temptations, those aggravations? Can you recognize that voice versus the voice of Jesus? Because he says his sheep will hear his voice, which means for us, we need to be actively listening for the Spirit, for Jesus to speak into those situations rather than act. And so pay attention in those moments. Pay attention to those storms. Pay attention to those difficulties. Start paying attention to what you're actually listening to. And before you dismiss me, you have to understand I'm about the most impulsive person you've ever met before in your life. I'm so impulsive, I have a medical diagnosis that allows me to be impulsive. And it's not my fault. They diagnosed it, not my fault. Someone else's fault, not mine. But what I have learned is if I am filling myself up with Jesus, I can be just as impulsive with gospel things. I can be just as impulsive to forgive. I can be just as impulsive to live out the fruits of the Spirit. Impulsiveness doesn't always have to mean my sinful nature, though often it does. It doesn't have to. It's what are we filling ourselves up with? What are we listening to? Who's driving? And so what we got to do is fill ourselves up with Jesus, is spend time with Jesus. Number three, these aren't necessarily in order, but spending time with Jesus. I want you to read Ephesians 6, 13 to 18. That's your homework. Read about what Paul says about spiritual warfare. Read what he says about putting on the armor of God. And in this idea of we are really at war, there are really things happening, and we need to pay attention that, yeah, your husband may be this, but all that other stuff you're hearing isn't from God. It's not from your husband. It's from this spiritual warfare who's trying to drain your marriage, trying to drain your life right now. So if we can identify that, we can be like, you know what? I don't want to do that. I don't want to participate with that. So pay attention, fill yourselves with God's word. And then lastly, this has helped me a lot in my life. It's speaking the name of Jesus. Listen to this. Philippians 2, 9 through 10 says this. It says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, folks, there is power in the exalted name of Jesus Christ. I cannot tell you, and this sounds super weird, and I'm okay with that. I'm just letting you know. I cannot tell you how many times I've had to literally cry out the name of Jesus when I'm going through a storm. I cannot tell you how many times I've had to cry out his name and ask him for his help. Literally, verbally said, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I just rebuke all of this stuff, the intrusive thoughts, the craziness that goes on my mind. When I was 20 and I said, look, I'm all in, you have no idea the stuff. I'm not gonna tell you the stuff that came through my mind. But it was the power of Jesus. It was his name rebuking that and realizing it wasn't from me. It was from these other things that were trying to drive me, to push me away, to get me not to follow after Jesus. And so when everything around me falling apart, when I hear these overwhelming voices that I know are not from me, and I know they're not from Jesus, I verbally speak the name of Jesus to all of that junk. And you'd be amazed of what can happen. There were so many terrible thoughts that can try to convince me of so many different things that were not true, but Jesus cleared my mind. Quite literally, the name of Jesus set me free from that. Jesus, listen, Jesus verbally spoke to the storms. Jesus verbally spoke to the demonic. I don't suggest you try either, but I suggest you verbally speak the name of Jesus. Watch what happens to your mind through all of that. Ask him to bring clarity, rebuke that other junk, and just understand that it's not from him and it's not for you. It's really against you. So many times we'd rather sit there and listen to ourselves, wouldn't we? We'd rather listen to ourselves because we like storms. We like drama. We like havoc. We are more comfortable with the demonic than we are with the Savior. Just like the people in the story were. Some of us, that's how we grew up. That's all we've seen, and we spend more time than we like that. We think it's normal. It is not of Christ. He wants that stuff out of your life. And so when it seems that perhaps all hell is breaking loose, perhaps it really is. There's a good chance that's exactly what's going on. And my plea to you is don't let the demonic win. Don't let it ruin your marriage. Don't let it ruin your character. Don't let it ruin your testimony, your faith, your career. Like, don't let it do all of that. If it's trying to take you away from Jesus, if it's trying to pull you away from God, then it's not from God. Being in isolation and separation, like that's of Satan. That's not of God. Hey, be by yourself. You're better off alone. Shh, don't tell anybody. It's just between us. No one else will know. That isolation, that's not from him. That's not what he wants. It brought to the light. He wants you around his people, his community, the church. That's not from God. And for me, when I started exploring those other jobs, other than preaching, because I was so intimidated by Daniel, it took me a while, but I realized that wasn't from the Lord. And although I knew I couldn't do what Daniel did, The truth is I can't. I'm not as gifted as him. He's amazing. But what I learned when I started listening to Jesus is that Jesus wasn't asking me to be Daniel. He was asking me to be me. And that kind of clarity through those storms that gives you confidence to be you even when a lot of people don't like how you are. But that confidence that he gave me all those years ago, saying, I don't need you to be someone else. I need you to be you because I've called you, I've gifted you, and I want you to do what I've asked me to do. That kind of confidence you get from the midst of the storms, there's nothing like it, folks. It was through the storm I heard a very important word from the Lord. You see, God isn't comparing me to other people. God's just asking me to be faithful with what he's given me. That stupid voice in my head, those evil thoughts in my head, they're telling me they're looking out for me, but they're not looking out for me. They're taking me away from Jesus and my calling. They weren't helping me. And so for me, and I don't know what it is for you, I got to constantly deal with that lazy voice that says, listen, life should be easy. You just need to relax. Everything's going to be perfect. Everything should be perfect. Folks, that life doesn't even exist. That's a lie. Everything's hard. Welcome to being human, right? In a broken, sinful world. Life is difficult for all of us, but I'd much rather be with Jesus on that daggone boat and allowing him to guide me and lead me and watching him show off at times than be sitting at the shore thinking about everything I missed out on. So spiritual warfare is a real thing. The doubts, the fears, the excuses, the nervousness, that I'm not good enough. Folks, all of us deal with that. Every single one of us do. It's not from the Lord. Step out on faith. Be bold. Like I tell my son all the time, you can't be courageous if you're not a little bit scared. Like, it's okay. Be courageous. Be bold for the Lord. And just remember, you don't have to be afraid. He's right there with you saying, look, this whole idea wasn't even yours. It was mine. This was my idea, and you're not powerful enough. You're not supposed to be. His power is supposed to shine through us. So we trust in him. We get in that boat, and we just hang on and allow him to show up and show off, because he will. The only difference between perhaps you and those who have experienced incredible, miraculous things is they stayed on the boat, and they watched him show off, and that they lived to tell about the amazing, mighty works of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, as we talk about spiritual warfare and the reality of what we're going to face being a Jesus follower, Lord, it's scary, it's difficult, it's frustrating. And the first idea is to think that perhaps if I don't follow Jesus, maybe that whole spiritual and evil stuff will leave me alone. But Father, we know that's not true. We know the world is full of it, and sin has wreaked havoc in this world. So Father, as we choose to trust in you, we've given you our life. We've trusted in the saving and mighty power of Jesus. Lord, help us hear your voice. Or so many people here are going through so many broken things. Sin has wreaked havoc in their lives. Now, God, we need to hear your voice. Through that calm, we need that calm to break through, to hear you. Father, we need you. Help us identify when things aren't from you, and help us continually be reminded when things aren't from you. Rather than going down those roads of listening to that voice that's unhelpful, let us quickly identify it, quickly hear you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Will you stand?